Let's take our Bibles and look together in Matthew chapter 7. And my text for this message is verse 24 down to verse 27. I want to speak with you about the parable of two builders. Here in verse 24 of Matthew 7, we read, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So here's the first builder in this parable of our Lord Jesus, likened unto a wise man. And verse 25 says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Now, here in verse 26, we have the second builder that is described. But this builder is not a wise man. In fact, he's called a foolish man. It says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Again, verse 27 says, "The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, in verse 28, it says, "It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So I want us to look together at this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a parable? Well, it's a story that has a spiritual significance. I'm sure that you have in your culture, even as we have here, stories that have a moral, that have a point to them. It catches our attention. And it causes us to listen carefully in order to understand what is exactly the point. Every parable has a lot of different detail in it, but there is one point that we're to keep and learn. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ teach in parables? Over in Mark chapter 4 and verses 33 and 34, we read this. We read, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So here in verse 33, we have the first reason why the Lord spoke in parable. It says that he spoke as they were able to hear it. So here was a simple story that enabled simple-minded people to comprehend the message of Christ as the Lord gave the hearing. We know that the truth of the gospel must be revealed by the Spirit, otherwise none of us would hear. And the message of the gospel is very deep. It's like a well. We see the surface of the water, but it goes very deep. But you think about how God, through His Word, has taken the mysteries of the gospel and His kingdom and put it in language that here we are reading it right now in simple words in order that those that He has purposed to hear might hear. So here's a second reason why our Lord spoke to the people in parables. It's because parables are short stories that are compelling and memorable. We remember stories. We remember those illustrations that describe Christ and His work. Here's a good lesson for us as preachers as well, that we not complicate the Word of God with our many words, but we simply tell the story as God has set it forth in His Word. Tell me the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Christ and His death in simple words. There are many preachers today, if you sit and listen to them, they speak as if they're a professor in some school somewhere, and they use high and mighty words, and the whole purpose is to convince people of how smart they are, when in reality, they're only proving their foolishness. But the third reason our Lord spoke to the people in parables was as a form of judgment on their spiritual state. In other words, to show them how dull of hearing they were. And here's another truth, then, that no matter how simple we make the gospel and how plainly we speak, unless God gives a hearing, none will understand. In fact, in another portion of Scripture, and it's over here in Mark chapter 4, in verse 11 and 12, our Lord explained to the disciples exactly why it was he spoke in parables. He had just spoken a parable, and verse 10 says, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. In verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So here again in verse 12, we see the reason the Lord spoke in parables, to bring a divide. It says that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. That's why I said you can take the scripture, you can take the words of Christ and put them as simply as possible, but there are going to be those who will not hear. Why? Because it takes the Lord to give the hearing. I'm sure that you have certain proverbs and parables in your culture that I, as a foreigner, when I hear those stories, I'm going to be puzzled. I'm not going to understand because I'm one of those that's outside. Those within understand, but not those outside. The same here in our culture. There are many stories that are told, and we call them fables, but from outside, you hearing them might be wondering or puzzling, what is the meaning? But the Lord spoke this way so that those that he was drawing would come to him and seek him and ask him that he might teach them further. So that's really the fourth reason why Christ spoke parables. It's like a good teacher. If a student doesn't understand, that student is going to approach the teacher with a desire to learn. That's how the Lord draws his own. And that's exactly what we see our Lord doing here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 34. It says, without a parable spake he not unto them. Notice, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Oh, how we need the Lord himself to be our teacher. It's only pride that makes us think that we can understand his word apart from him being our teacher. And certainly as preachers, it is only pride that makes us think that somehow we can explain this word in such a way as sinners will understand. No, it takes the Spirit of God to be. Now, we're going to be studying the parables over the next several months. And so, as we go through these various parables, we're going to be looking at these stories, at these sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and asking him to be our teacher as to what is the point of each one. And here's the first here, coming back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 down to verse 27. And this has to do with two builders. And as we saw already in the initial reading, there's the wise man in verse 24, the wise man, verse 26, the foolish man. Now every time our Lord spoke a parable, it was due to a situation where he was, where he wanted to make plain to his disciples a difference. And you can see verse 24 begins with therefore. So that's a conclusion. Whenever you say therefore, what is therefore? So here's the context of this parable of the two builders. You go up to verse 21 of Matthew 7. Our Lord had just said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So that's the context here where the Lord speaks of two different kinds of builders. Not everyone that saith, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, in this parable, these two builders both were building on a foundation. In verse 24, the wise man was building upon a rock, that is, a true foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 26, the foolish man also was building on a foundation, but it was not on Christ. You see, it says there, he built his house upon the sand. So this goes back again to what the Lord said there in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Here was a man building that was saying unto him, Lord, Lord, and yet was not doing the will of the Father which is in heaven. That's a key word there, because he mentions it in verse 21, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Both builders were doing something. Verse 24, the wise man, he says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So in verse 24, he was hearing the sayings of Christ and acting accordingly as the Spirit gave him the strength. But in verse 26, you see the same language. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. There are two kinds of hearing. You can hear with the physical ear, but really not hear. We have this all the time with our children. We tell them something, and then they continue to do what they're doing, and so you ask them, "Did you hear me?" And they might answer, "Yes, I heard you," but their actions say they really did not hear. And so that's the difference here between these two builders. It says they both heard, but one heard and one didn't. When you go back to the first part of this chapter, you see where the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the people that He was the only way. He described the difference in verse 13 of Matthew 7 between the straight gate, the narrow gate, and the wide gate. And he had said there, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." And then he had said in verse 14, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and what? Few there be that find it." It's like in our day. There are many today that profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and profess to be on their way to eternal life, and yet they're not the Lord's. Many are in the broad way that leads to destruction. Those are the foolish builders in our parable. They're building, and yet the foundation is not Christ alone. There are those, as Christ said in Matthew 7 and verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them," verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." When Christ in the parable in verse 26 likened the foolish man unto one who built his house upon the sand, he's talking about these here. They were zealous about their own works. They were zealous about their prophesying and their casting out of devils, doing it all for their own glory, building upon the sand. Any person that labors and professes to be doing it for God and yet does it to bring attention to themselves and their own works, those are foolish men. In fact, the Lord in verse 23 calls those workers of iniquity, ye that work iniquity. They labor for their own glory and therefore are workers of iniquity. So who is the wise man? Well, in verse 24 it says, I will liken him unto a wise man that builds upon a rock. That rock is none other than Christ Jesus. When the Lord gives a hearing, because that's who a wise man is, none of us is wise in ourselves, but when the Lord causes us by His Spirit to hear His voice, and we come to Him, and we rest in Him, that is what it is to build on the rock. A wise man has no other foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, being made wise by the Spirit of God, a wise man wants no other foundation than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Whatever it is that we lack as far as being sinners before a holy God, it is Christ who is that foundation. What do we lack? We need a righteousness before God that is equal to God Himself. Christ is that righteousness. We need a sanctification before God that sets us apart unto holiness. Christ is that sanctification. We need a redemption that will purchase us unto God from our sin. Well, Christ is that redemption. He is all. So the wise man, in verse 24 of Matthew 7, that hears Christ's sayings, that is, by the Spirit of God, and does them. What does it mean to do it? Comes to Christ. That's what it is to do them. Comes to Christ. He likens unto that wise man that has built his house upon a rock. But verse 26 describes all others, that they hear, that is, with their physical ear, just like some may be hearing this message now, and yet don't hear, and they continue. That's what it says, and doeth them not. They don't rest in Christ alone, but they continue to pursue their own works of righteousness. Those are foolish men that build the house on the sand. In Romans chapter 10, and verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul describes such. He says there in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. When he talks about Israel, he's talking about his fellow brethren that were Jews according to the flesh. He's acknowledging that with all of their religious zeal, yet they were not saved. They were like the foolish man that was building, but not upon the rock, building upon the sand. And he says in verse 2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but what? Not according to knowledge, not according to the revelation of Christ. For they, verse 3, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, that's the sand, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, that's Christ. Verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Where Christ has been revealed in the heart, then to that one, as he believes, sees that Christ has fulfilled the law, and it's not based upon his works, his own works, but on Christ's works. So this is who the rock is. The wise man building upon the rock is one who has no other hope of salvation than the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul likens himself unto that wise builder. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How does one become a wise builder? He says there in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. So in our parable in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, the clear difference between a wise man building and a foolish man is the grace of God. And that grace is not given to everybody, but to those that God Himself has purposed and has saved through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how important is the difference between being a wise builder and a foolish builder? Well, we see that in their destinies, two different destinies. You notice in verse 25 and verse 27, both had the rain descend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon their house. But it says in verse 25, concerning the house of the wise man, it fell not, for it was what? Founded upon a rock. It did not stand because of the strength of the builder, but rather the strength of the foundation, which was Christ. But the foolish man's house fell exactly for that reason, because it had no true foundation. I'm sure the foolish builder was just as zealous to build something that would last, and perhaps had just as much skill, if you will, as the wise man. But that's not the strength of the house. The strength of the house is the foundation.
Ananiwachangu,
without a foundation. Many pretend to make their peace with God by their own works, and they hope for pardon for the mercy of God, and yet it's not in the righteousness of Christ, it's in their own efforts. The salvation of our souls is a weighty matter that only God Himself can answer. Anything less than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing more than sand, and it cannot stand. That's why God the Father has laid the salvation of His people on His own Son, who came and earned that righteousness and established it, and God imputed it there at the cross. That alone is the salvation of His people. And those that He has made wise by His Spirit have no other hope than that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But oh, how foolish are so many that continue to try to build on their own works, on their own efforts, and yet anything short of Christ alone can only fail. May the Lord bless this word to our hearing and to our doing to come to Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Many thanks to God because of the beautiful expounding of the gospel, speaking about the true foundation and true hope that is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And somebody sang a song, I dare not trust in the sweetest of them, but the holy name in Jesus' name. When darkness veiled His love first, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the vow. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whirling floods. When all around my soul gives away, He then is all hope and say, when He shall come with the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His lusciousness alone, fortress to stand before His throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. What a beautiful time of hearing from the Lord.